Let me just say this up front. Book of Colossians is a wonderful little book in the Bible. It's four chapters long. And in that power-packed little book, it talks about all the amazing things God did for us in Christ. It has some amazing truths of the glorious things, how he translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son and forgave us of our sin, and how God strengthens us with might by his Spirit in the inner man, and just some amazing stuff in him, in Christ, stuff, how we're complete in him, and also some great guidance about not getting off into religion again. But when you get over into this chapter 3, it gives us some very practical, step-by-step things on what it means to be living for God and living this new power-packed resurrection life. And as we get down into Colossians chapter 3, in the middle part of that, we see some powerful scriptures. And we're going to start here with Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." These are some instructions to the elect of God. These are our instructions. You know, again, when you read the whole book of Colossians, it's amazing all the ground he covers. But as he gets it right down to our everyday life, he's got some very targeted directions, specific instructions for us as the elect of God, as his children. These are the things that we are to do. And so you'll notice in verse 12 it says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with, forgiving. If anyone has a complaint against another, that includes all of our situations. There's no exemptions. It's all right there. Even as Christ forgave us, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now, put on, I like in the Amplify, it says clothe. Clothe yourself with tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. These are things, these are really attributes, characteristics of love and the fruit of the Spirit, but we are admonished to, on purpose, put them on. To put them on. All right? Now, when we think of putting things on, you know, again, what Amplify just says, clothes, if you put something on because it's not already on. All right? Now, we know that, you know, in Christ, we've got the Holy Spirit in us. We've got these attributes of the Holy Spirit already living in us and different things like that. But here he's giving us a charge to, on purpose, put them on. In other words, if you don't have meekness or kindness operating right now, start operating in it now. Be kind. Be meek. Put it on. Now, we kind of understand that concept, that principle, as it relates to other areas of faith. Let's say, you know, you're dealing with fear. And there's fear coming against your mind. And you know the sword of the Spirit is there. And you know the Word of God is there that says, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And you swing that sword in the face of that fear. That's fighting the good fight of faith. As you're wrestling against those things, wrestling against you. We've been over that ground before. But you realize that you are going to have to, in the face of contrary feelings, emotions, and thoughts, declare the Word of God. In other words, you're putting on faith in the face of that fear. It could be a pull of the flesh, an addiction, you know, where you're feeling drawn to that old weight and sin that so easily besets you, and you're having to say by faith, no. In Jesus' name, no temptation has overtaken me except that which is common to man. I resist it in Jesus' name. I'm not going there. Thank God I'm going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, so some of those areas that we've already kind of learned to walk by faith in, again, really it's the same concept as what we're talking about here. Only this is how that faith and that sword of the Spirit works as it relates to your love walk. you're going to put on love. Put on kindness in the face of the hurt and the offense and the things that are coming your way. We can, in the same way, when fear comes our way, I can put on faith and swing the sword of the Spirit. I don't have to wait till I feel an ooey-gooey thing from God. I can, by faith, declare what the Word of God says. Same thing with this love walk. I can put on purpose, God's love. I can put on kindness and meekness and tenderness. Again, the Amplified there in place of put on says clothe. Okay? That's like, you know, you think of clothes, it's like clothing. And you can kind of think of it this way. You know, when you feel the draft of a hurt or of a jab or of whatever it might be, so to speak, spiritually, you need to put on some warm clothes. You need to put on some warm, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, to keep you warm in the face of this, to clothe yourself with those things. So kind of the, you know, you can think of it this way. You know, we're getting ready as the temperatures are changing here, the change of the seasons. It's starting to get a little colder outside. So, you know, spiritually speaking, if you're going into, you know, there's colder places. When I say cold, I'm speaking allegorically of situations, maybe of people, circumstances, things that may push your buttons, issues that you've had, stuff that can stir you up. You know, in the same way when that fear comes, you are going to clothe yourself in those cold places. You're going to clothe yourself with these things as the elect of God. So what does that mean? Let's just say you know ahead of time. You're going into a situation. Different things for different people. For some people, it could be a family event. For some people, it could be a work-oriented social event. Whatever it is. But if you know ahead of time you're going into a cold place, you need to dress warm. If you know it, dress warm ahead of time. All right? We're not going in there. You know, but what do you got to do? This is faith. This is the same faith that you use to swing that sword against fear. This is the same faith that you're using to swing this sword to walk in love. And you've already got it in your heart and mind and settled, man, I've already forgiven you. I mean, I've already got it in my heart. I'm clothed in humility, meekness. I'm going into that situation. Not to change you, not to fix you. I'm going into that situation to walk in love. As the elect of God, put it on. Yeah, put it on. The message this morning is the big put on. When you grow up spiritually, you learn and develop in being able to put on kindness and tenderness and mercy and different things like that. I've done it both ways, where I haven't put it on. It's amazing the different things that come out of your mouth when you don't put it on versus when you do put it on. How much more restrained you are when you put these things on. Praise God. God wants us to put them on. There have been times I've put them on and have had things said and went away and kind of got off and thinking, well, the things I could have, would have, should have said, and said, thank God I didn't say it. Praise God I put on. See, because you could put it on and you go and then you take it off later. Well, you need to put it back on and you need to keep it on and you need to say, okay, thank you, Lord, and forgive and go on down the road, you know. But I'm just saying, we got to on purpose put these things on. In the same way you got to on purpose resist the enemy in those other areas, you got to on purpose put some things on in faith as it relates to walking in love, as it relates to just as part of being the elect of God. Isn't that an amazing summary conclusion? Therefore, he gets done saying, you know, a bunch of glorious things in the first 3.5 chapters. Says, therefore, as the elect of God, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. That's a sweet, wonderful character and demeanor. And so, first area, putting on, we want to talk about putting on kindness. Putting on kindness. Luke chapter 6, verse 35 through 36 puts it this way. This is, of course, Jesus speaking, and he says, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore," conclusion, "be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful." Praise God. Kindness. Kindness. Kind to the evil. And that was probably one of the first, as I began to read the Bible for myself, reading my little blue denim Bible that I got in my Lutheran church, you know, back, you know, just as a young lad in third or fourth grade. One of the first things that really stuck out to me when I read the scriptures is when Jesus said to bless those who curse you, to do good. He said, you know, just loving those people who love you, anybody can do that. The tax collectors can do that. The sinners, the ones you're pointing your finger down on as being, you know, undefiled and contaminated, they can do that. There's nothing special about that. It's when you love the unlovely. It's when you, what does the Bible say? For God, he's talking, God, is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, you be merciful just as your Father is also. So this is a directive from Jesus. You got to put it on, don't you? You don't just naturally have that. I mean, thank God as you walk in the Spirit, that fruit of love will develop more and more in your life, and it can and will become more instinctive and natural to respond that way. But you don't start out there. You're going to grow. You're going to develop that fruit of the Spirit. But it has to start out somewhere. It starts with you putting it on. That's part of setting your mind on things above, is in the face of that unthankful, evil presence, you set your mind on what he has said, and you're kind in return. You respond in kindness. Respond in meekness and gentleness. I'm going to tell you this too. That is one of the great ways that that the church shines, that the church is the light in the world, when there is that kindness. The world is so used to being treated, you know, in a manner, you know, where it is eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, where they're always, you know, there's that confrontation, that fighting, that going back and forth. Then when somebody does something that they, according to their calculations, should generate an angry response, and you don't act in anger, and you act in kindness and grace and love because you put it on, that gets the attention of the world. That will get the attention of people to hear what you have to say. The old adage, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. Well, one of the great ways to let them know that you care is just by being kind in those unthankful and evil situations. When you don't respond the way you should respond, but you respond with understanding and kindness, you're putting it on. I had a great chance just as a kid in high school where, you know, it was a situation in a high school classroom where, you know, this kid was kind of one of those kids who was, he was picked on, and, you know, as it turned out, you know, the teacher who was actually teaching the class, unfortunately, you know, kids didn't want to sit by him, and so she didn't make them sit by him when they did through the alphabet and the desk order and things like that, and so anyway, it got down to me, you know, and everybody's kind of like, oh, you know, and for me, I mean, I was a senior, this kid was a sophomore, I think, and, you know, had a lot of things going, and so it was like, you know, so she kind of looked at me and said, oh, I know you probably aren't going to want to, and, you know, it just felt bad for this kid. I said, no, please don't. I'd love to sit by him, no problem at all. Just, you know, but, you know, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I know God. I love God, and I could just sense, cool, this is just a great chance to befriend this kid. And so I sat down next to him, and I didn't try to be super ooey-gooey spiritual, trying to win him or anything. Just nothing but being kind. Just treating him like a normal person. Just giving him the respect of just normality, you know, and not being weird and not being odd. And it was amazing how just on purpose, putting on kindness toward him, how he, you know, throughout that class session, he eventually really became open and trusting. in that relationship, you know, I was able to tell him a few things, you know, about the Lord and different things like that. And lo and behold, later that school year, we had an event in our church where an evangelist came through. And I was able to invite him out there, and he received Christ. And the Holy Spirit, and it was amazing. And just years later, I caught up with him. You know, he came back. It's still serving God, still loving God. But it all started in that classroom, and it wasn't anything. It wasn't like God told me to give him the four spiritual laws. It was just be nice to the guy. And a lot of times, your evangelism is just going to start out by being kind and then see where it goes from there. But first things first, one of the great ways we shine, one of the great ways is putting on that kindness to the unthankful and to the evil, right? I mean, they don't even have, they're so spiritually ignorant, they don't even understand that they should. So we should have even more compassion, you know what I mean, in that sense. Because these are people who need to understand and know the love of God. So there is that compassion. And so this scripture, I think, can contrast it a little bit in James chapter 1, where he says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And so there again, it kind of talks about how we can respond. You know, I can respond, you know, with mercy and grace, or I can respond in anger. All right? Especially as we're talking about the lost. Especially as we're talking about reaching our world. Now, I want to just say some things into the church. In the olden days, there used to be believers and unbelievers. Nowadays, it seems like there's just Democrats and Republicans. And I'm talking to the church, because if you're just a Democrat or a Republican, you're not even saved. You don't come to God through a party. You come to God through the cross, period. And your pride and your glory and your confidence better be in nothing but the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you get reorientated toward an ism, and you put your confidence in that ism, you're going to begin to respond differently. And your trust is going to be differently. It'll contaminate your spirit. The way you carry yourself. You better remember where you've come from. And the righteousness that you represent in this earth is a gift of righteousness, not your own. You want to be found in Him, not having a righteousness that's your own, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. The righteousness we represent in the earth, we represent with the humility and with a graciousness and with the understanding that we got. And then people can go back to unbelievers again, who I love and who I reach out to, and show them the love that I've been shown. Praise God. That's the way it is. You get so orientated around politics, it's like, don't tell me what you believe about Jesus. What do you believe about this social issue? What do you believe about that issue? You tell me what you believe about that issue, and I'll tell you what you believe about Jesus. There can be an ugly, cynical, sinister, critical, condescending religious spirit in the church. You're a believer or you're an unbeliever. And you locate people by the cross. Have you called upon the name? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you know what He's done for you? That's how I locate someone spiritually. My goodness, your politics change a lot throughout the years. And they don't have to change before you get saved. They change after you get saved a lot of times. And a lot of times what you want to be able to do when you're putting on kindness is a real, compassionate, love, caring. Because what are you representing? You are representing the love of God. You're representing what Christ did on the cross. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. I love the language. Therefore, as the elect of God, put on kindness, meekness, tenderness. That's what you should look like in this earth. They'll know you're Christians by your love. That's what causes them to take notice. That's what catches the gaze. That's what makes the math different. By your love. Putting on kindness. I'm speaking on some issues, because I feel like in our church, we need to, just in the church, that we need to love the unbeliever. We need to love and care and reach out and have that compassionate heart. They're not the enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. There is an enemy. You have an adversary, and he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we understand that people are under that influence. And what do we need to do? Preach the gospel. Get people saved. The power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. When a person gets saved, it changes everything. That's what changes your worldview, is salvation. That's what reorientates you. But you got to get saved. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You got to get born again. That's what you need. You need to get born again. First things first. That's the mission of the church, the commission to go into all the world, get people born again. That's why we're here. We got to put on kindness. When we hear things that sound evil and unthankful, not to respond in anger. Anger is not going to get it done. Anger will not produce the righteousness of God. You're not going to get mad enough to where the world's all... No, they're going to be reached by love. They're going to be reached by the preaching of the love of God. That's what's going to get them. That's what got you. Praise God. So, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach. Patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And so here we are again. We have to be gentle in our correction, patient, all these things. These are things that you are putting on when you're dealing with that person. And whether they get it or they don't get it in that session is not the biggest thing. The biggest thing right now is your part. Be gentle, be kind. Your gentleness and your kindness and your deference to listen, to keep an open heart and to listen. A lot of times just let people say and speak and share is going to make you that safe place where even though they may not get it that time, they still will not be afraid or to want to come back to you. You know, and a lot of times that's the way it is. Jesus said, you've been fishing for fish, but I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. And a lot of times in the putting on of this stuff as you're working with the unbeliever, you're fishing. And you're learning the bait and the things that's hooking them and different things like that, that's connecting with them. So you're learning how to fish, but it's a loving practice. And so praise God. Putting on kindness, the big put on. That's one of the big things we got to put on. Also, putting on love. You know, he just says, you know, in the latter part of that passage in Colossians chapter 3, to put on love, which is the bond of perfection. I love that. Putting on love, which is the bond of perfection. 1 Corinthians 13, of course, the great love chapter, gives us a good strong definition of what love is. You know, the Bible says God is love. All right? So instead of thinking of this as a to-do list that you got to do to be a good person to walk in love, begin to think of this list as the characteristics of the way God is. Okay? God is love. What does he look like? He looks like this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Again, this is who God is. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. You know, suffers long, kind, doesn't envy, doesn't behave rudely, doesn't seek its own, not provoked, all these things. You know, it also kind of makes me think of Jesus, the way he describes himself. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You get that picture. This is the way God is. So when I'm putting things on, I'm not being phony. I'm being more like God. I'm being more conformed into his image. You know, a lot of times, Christians who walk in love by putting on these things will be criticized by other Christians for being phony. And you're not being phony. You are by faith doing what the Word of God has told you to do. And it's good and it's right. And when you do this, you won't say a bunch of junk, like we said, that you won't if you don't have this clothing on. You know, we live in a world that not only glorifies, you know, adultery and sex and all that kind of stuff. The world that we live in glorifies anger, glorifies hatred. Go ahead, make my day. Chip on my shoulder. Man, if I think it, I'm going to say it because I'm free. No, if you have to say it because you think it, you're in much bondage. It's the person who doesn't have to say everything they think and feel that has self-control. They don't have the victim complex prodding them to say it, or else you're in bondage or control. No, you're free. You're not free just because you think you can say everything you feel. Intimidating. That's a lack of self-control. When people begin to put on love by faith and just not say it, they realize, I don't have to. I really can take the time to bring my thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And if it gets his seal of approval, then I will say it. And if it doesn't, I won't. We're submitted to Jesus. He's the Lord of our life. A big part of that is love. And that love is going to be suffering long, being kind, envy, not parading ourselves, not behaving rudely, not seeking its own. When those thoughts are in our head, they shouldn't be turned into words until we've said, okay, Lord, I'm going to put on love. Is this right? Does this really pass? You know, does this really pass the love test? I mean, I've had the Lord challenge me, you know, in my own walk. You know, it's amazing. These are some big statements, these first three verses. And they kind of flow. There's almost kind of a flowery feel that if we're not careful, the reality of these things could almost go over our heads. Think about that. You could speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but if you don't have love, if you can't just suffer long and be kind, you are a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Isn't that the most frustrating thing? When you know technically you're right because you've been there, done it, and yet, you know, it's like they're not listening. And you're angry and you're frustrated. And that's when I got to go, God, help me to say this. Because this isn't about, verse 1 isn't about who's right or who's wrong. This is verse 1 is about how you're saying what you're saying. Noisy gong, clanging cymbal. You can have the truth of God's word and present it as a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You should, da, 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 da. And yet it's technically right. So love gets past just who's right. It's not just love, but speaking the truth in love. And you see that, if you don't, noisy gong, clanging. You could have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and have all faith to move mountains. But if you have not love, you're nothing. I remember the Lord just challenged me, Ed, do you really believe that? Think about that. If I zapped you right now with the gift of prophecy, all mysteries, all knowledge, all faith, but you just had this little love thing on the side, you had a problem with suffering long and being kind. Do you really think then that the net result would be nothing? Or would you be that great man of God who's just kind of struggling with a love walk issue on the side? Do we believe this? Love is really important. That's the point of these first three verses. This is how important love is. It doesn't matter if you're right, what you know, it doesn't matter what you have, and it doesn't matter what you do. If it's not motivated by love, it's nothing. So even though you can point, maybe verse 3, to all that stuff, or to your great theology of verse 2, but you're not it's nothing. Your influence, it just isn't there. It's not going to connect. You got to put that on. Like we said, you're not just born naturally, ready to turn the other cheek. No, these are things that you are going to grow and to develop in spiritually. First Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 3. It says, now concerning things offered to idols, they had their hot button issues, theological debates of their day, the same way we have ours today. Wasn't always the same stuff. Now, things concerning offered idols, we know that we have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. All right, the amplified verse 1. But love, affection, goodwill, and benevolence edifies, builds up, and encourages one to grow to his full stature. You know, it comes down to this, like we said, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. It's great to have knowledge. Knowledge doesn't have to puff up if you speak the truth in love. All right? But we can get so proud of the truth that we forget the love part. And we've got to put on love. We've got to put it on. You know, Jesus didn't just say everything he knew. There were times when Jesus said, there's things I want to tell you, but I can't tell you now. And so even though you might see some things, know some things, you got to also check your heart and love and say, can I say that? You know, it's like Jesus said, I say what I hear the Father say, I do what I see the Father do. And so he tempered what he said and how he ministered in a way that he knew that he could speak that truth in love. So Ephesians chapter 4, 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things in him who's the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This is what I love so much about just our fellowship time that we have around here. I can see that before, during, after the service, those sweet fellowship times of just infusing truth, supplies of the Spirit, things that are causing us to grow. But it is done in love. Ephesians 4:29 says, also let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Let no foul, and this is the same one in Amplified, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. That's a good benchmark. As is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. Praise God. I'll tell you what, it's a powerful thing. You know, when you begin to speak the truth in love, when you begin to do what God has shown you to do, you begin to say what God has shown you to say. Because what it does, you know, especially when you're talking about corrupt communication, why would there be corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth? Because somebody hurts you and you're going to hurt them back. That's kind of the way it works. But love has the ability to diffuse that. Jesus put it this way. You know, he said, if somebody strikes you on one cheek, turn the other cheek and offer it as well. All right? He told us that in the midst of saying, here's a new way I'm showing you. It's going to be turn the other cheek. And there's probably one of the truth of Christianity that gets mocked more than any other truth of Christianity. It's probably that one right there. You know, hitting both cheeks. So don't turn the other cheek. It's wrong. Stand up for yourself. Be a man. Be a woman. Da, 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 da. Well, you're going to put on love. You're going to walk in faith. What does turning, let's just say when you don't turn the other cheek. You see this. You see it all the time. You may have seen it in real life. You might have seen it in the movies. You know, whether it's the old bar scene fight or whatever kind of fight there is. Punch, 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 punch. Back and forth and back and forth. You know, until somebody can't fight anymore or they're killed or whatever it might be. But it's back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And does it stop there? No. Then their children go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then their grandchildren go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And the Bible says that this, that unforgiveness, it has a leavening effect. Leaven. Leaven is what causes the dough to rise. And that's what the bitterness and the hatred does. It has a leavening effect. Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So really, when you turn the other cheek and you don't hit back, what are you doing? In essence, you're stopping the leavening effect. No. It's going to be a one-way battle for you. And we're talking about physical hits, but let's be clear, 99.999% of the time in our lives, these are not barroom fights, right? These are emotional, malicious word fights. Somebody gives a little malicious jab, and you're thinking, all right. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, okay. Now, how, where, and when? That's the kind of turning the other cheek that we've got to do there. That's when that malicious jab goes unreturned. You know, the Bible says, regarding malice, be children. But regarding understanding, be mature. That's a powerful word. See, malice is very cleverly laced, where you have to be clever enough to get the insult. And that's what the Bible says. When it comes to that kind of malice, be children. Don't get it. Be really, yeah, be so innocent. It's like you don't get it. When you're going to put on love and stop that leavening effect, a big part of it is where you're going to realize that, Father, okay, not only am I not going to return the jab, but I am going to forgive, even as you in Christ have forgiven me. I'm going to the cross. I'm cross-oriented of grace. He forgave me. That's what that initial passage said. It said, you know, just as he forgave you, so you almost must forgive. And that kind of brings us down to our final point about putting on forgiveness. All right. It says, therefore is the elect of God. Oh, I got ahead of myself. Therefore is the elect of God. Oh, I'm sorry. This is what I wanted. I was just kind of looking at the one aspect there of corrupt communication. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Again, this is something that you put on. And you'll notice, I love the way the Bible talks about forgiveness. It's kind of like, okay, I'm forgiving you. I got to forgive you because I'm a Christian, so I'm technically forgiving you. That's not the kind of forgiveness that the Bible talks about here, does it? You know, in Colossians it says, put on tender mercies. You know, and here it says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. It even shows us our demeanor as we do it. You know, that what to be tender-hearted as you're forgiving, you got to put it on. You don't feel like being tender-hearted. I'm telling you what, the times you are most spiritual are when you feel like doing something else, but you put on love and grace and mercy. All right? You're not going crazy. Put it on. That's faith. Yes, the world will criticize you. Yes, even Christians will criticize you, but God won't criticize you when you put it on. And don't say the evil thing, and don't let the corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But tender mercies and kindness. And a lot of the stuff you're going to take care of in the privacy of your own prayer closet. So, okay, Father, nope, that's it. You know, it's almost like having an open account somewhere. You have to close some accounts, you know. You know, the Bible, you can nurse a grudge. Nope, we're closing that account. We're closing that account. Nope, we're putting it away, putting it down. Letting all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, put away from with all malice. These scriptures have kept me on track spiritually. The biggest thing that the enemy is going after in your life, I mean, think about it. If you're the enemy and you know that a person, whether they speak with tongues of men and of angels, they have the gift of prophecy, they understand all mysteries, they've got the power gifts, they got the revelation, they're doing all those things. But just one thing, it's all on the rug of love. If you can just get love, get them out of love, it's going to profit nothing. I mean, you don't have to be a, you know, military genius spiritually. The number one thing he's after you is your love. If he can just get you bitter, wrath, anger, clamor. But when you put on love and are kind and tenderhearted and forgiving, praise God, you keep that under you. Love, love. The enemy who goes about as a roaring lion seeking, he's hitting you in the love spots. For a strategic reason. Not because of that person or that relationship. It doesn't mean anything to him. It's the fruit of your life that he's trying to short circuit. It's his good works he's ordaining you. You think it's all about this issue and this relationship. Well, it's about bigger than that. When he speaks, it's about the things that God has ordained you to walk in. Forgive, love, go on. Forgive, love, and keep doing what God has called you to do. Knowing that he's going after people. He is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does. He's good at that. He wants to get you in the seat of the scoffer with him. Anytime you find yourself in your mind accusing, especially a brother in the Lord or a sister in the Lord, say, no, I'm getting out of that seat of the scoffer. Who am I to judge another man's servant? To his own master he'll stand or fall. And he's able to make him stand. God's able to make him stand. Catch yourself. Renew your mind and put on love and say, no, I'm putting on forgiveness. I forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven me. Thank God. The parable of the unforgiving servant, strangling his brother who owed him the 20 bucks. He forgot about the big debt. And that's our admonition. Don't forget about the big debt. Remember that big debt. That's why, you know, even as he puts it here in Colossians 3, he says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you. In other words, when he always brings it back to even as Christ, he's not letting us forget the million-dollar debt, is he? He keeps pointing us back to that and say, don't forget. Don't forget where you've come from, you spiritual thing. Don't forget that this was God in the very beginning who rescued you as a sinner and pulled you out of that kingdom of darkness. It's all grace and mercy. You're not standing on your own 2 feet apart from his grace. And forgive, even as God is forgiven. You're going to have to put it on. Put it on. Don't expect some ooey-gooey feeling of emotional spirituality before you forgive. You forgive by faith. You put on that forgiveness. Feelings can come later, but you're in a spiritual battle. And if the enemy, if that's a prerequisite, the enemy has you right where he wants you. Because he's got all kinds of self-pity feelings for you and reasons why you need to hold on to things. But praise God. Thank God. God's ways are higher than our ways. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. It becomes the defining characteristic of who we are. So, the big put on. We are putting some stuff on, all right? Spirituality is not having ooey-gooey feelings ahead of time. Spirituality is by faith. The same way you by faith resist fear, you know, you resist the pull of the flesh to do fleshly wrong things. The same way, by putting on the Word of God, I'm the same way as it comes to my love walk. I'm going to, by faith, put on love. And you know what? Boy, have we got a basis for putting. We should be the last people in the world to have a victim complex over forgiving when we get orientated and to think all that's been forgiven us. There is nothing that can cure that complex than the cross. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And all those big things will become strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And you're reminded, oh yeah, God loves me. I'm bought with the price. There's just something about looking at him, the finisher of my faith, the perfecter of my faith, just looking into his glorious face. So much easier to forgive when I'm looking at him than it is when I'm looking at the person. And so I turn my eyes on him and I look and I see, praise God. Thank you, Lord. I put this stuff on purpose. On purpose. As I do, praise God, the Spirit of God is there. And there is peace, there is joy, there is release that only God can give. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for all your gifts, your mercy, your grace in our life, Father. But, oh, this morning we remember that as the elect of God, there are things you've called us to do. You've called us to put on tender mercies. Kindness, humility, meekness, like you, Jesus, meek and lowly in heart, long-suffering, forgiving one another, putting on love. This is appropriate. This is what the elect of God does. And we do it by faith, knowing we've been forgiven everything. We are not looking down on anyone in our own goodness. We are looking through a veil of a gift of righteousness that was given to us, freely forgiven of all of our sin. And so as you've commanded in your word, we forgive even as you have forgiven us, that we don't grieve your spirit and hold on to grudges. But we forgive and experience release and freedom ourselves. Oh, Father, I just pray If you can, again, if your heart can agree with this, go ahead and make this your declaration of faith. Say, Heavenly Father, I am the elect of God. I have been born again. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the shed blood. You have purchased me. I am not my own. I belong to you. You are my Lord. Help me to love as you've commanded, to put on kindness, that when people see me, they don't see a political party. They see the love of God, the gospel, the good news of your love. Help me to put on kindness. And Lord Jesus, help me to put on love, forgiveness, to hold no grudges, to close all those old accounts, to forget those things that are behind, and to look ahead to this great plan you have for my life. So, Lord, I do forgive, even as you have forgiven me. Lord Jesus, today's my day, the day I call upon your name. I believe in my heart you died on the cross for my sins. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe, you love me. Come into my life, into my heart. Be my Lord, my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, that's